Well, the first thing I would like our listeners to know is the deep and rich experience that you bring to this panel of judges for the Stolberg International String Competition. Cynthia, you have been a member of the New York Philharmonic since 1992. You are principal viola and have been asked by orchestras around the world to appear as a soloist. You have worked with composers, premiered new works, and of course, you interact with the next generation of performers as a teacher. I believe you mentioned Juilliard when we were corresponding. So all of that is something that plays a big part in why you can sit with two other judges and really try to find some singular talents. Why don't you talk a little bit about your approach, knowing how important it is for these young performers?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I'm such an advocate for these youngsters preparing for these competitions because it's really not about winning a prize. It's always great to win a prize, but it's almost like icing on the cake. The work that one puts into really working so hard and reaching another level of playing, the benefits that you get from having a singular goal like that are tremendous. And I have to say, the talent pool was huge. I was so honored, and really, it was just wonderful to listen to these young artists and to witness the hard work and the dedication and the sheer musicianship and skill coming from them. So I do believe in competitions as a way to inspire and inspire students, have them set goals and really be able to break down what they want to improve in their playing. And having it in an online format certainly was different. I mean, it's been different for us all to be shut down this way and to not be able to perform live. But as you mentioned, and I'm glad that you did mention it as a silver lining, because having a video component is huge. And if you think about any sporting event, they often use videotape to break down their playing and what happened here, what happened here. And so I think the fact that we've had to tape ourselves and look, not just listen, but also look, has been so good for the students. So I really feel that having it as an online competition was beneficial in a way that no one could have dreamed. And I have to say, it's funny, I just finished teaching at Juilliard. I was on my way back when you called me. And I ran into one of the teachers there, the pre-college department, who had a couple of students in the competition. And she's a dear old friend of mine. And I was just telling her how wonderful it was to see the work that she'd been able to do with these two students of hers that were in the, one of the 12 semifinalists. So a lot of good things came through this year, definitely. I don't think Stolberg was held back one iota.
Did you go back and try to confirm what you had heard when you were using the tapes? Because sometimes those notes are just flying by.
Yeah, they are flying by, but they would be flying by in a real-life situation.
Yeah.
So I did not use that as part of my process.
So the football replay analogy doesn't quite go that far.
No. I do it with my own students. Mm. I early on, I got out of the Zoom teaching situation because you can't really put music through a bandwidth like that. It just doesn't work effectively. But I started having my students make YouTube clips. And those I do rewind and I go over things because that way you can use it as an effective teaching tool. This was not the case, and I didn't actually feel it was fair to listen that way because we wouldn't have anyway if we were sitting live. And plus, they have to do it in one full take. You know, they can't stop and correct anything.
They're unedited.
Perform the camera, exactly. So I didn't do that. But I have to say it was really an honor and a joy to work with the other two judges, both of whom I go way back in time. Different festivals
wow.
here and there, and a lot of the same kind of training. So It was really a positive experience. I was very happy to be part of this.
Now, I'm presuming that you've been asked to adjudicate for a long time. Have you come up with a personal worksheet or a set of values or are going completely on instinct? What do you do?
Well, you know, I'm always looking for somebody who is so invested in music that it just takes over, and I forget about the technique, and I stop judging analytically, and I just really focus on who's moving me. How is this moving me? Why is this moving me? Because this person has something very deep to say, and they're saying it using every tool in their box. They know exactly what part of the bow to be in. They know how to spin this type of sound right here. They know how to sustain this kind of tension to the very end, to the release point, you know. But it's always I'm really drawn into the story that they're telling. And of course, you know, you have to, because we want to give thoughtful comments back. There has to be an analytical portion for it, but it's funny that when the three of us conferred, we had so many similar impressions, and I think that we all felt very similarly about the top winners and why they moved us and how they moved us. And so talking amongst ourselves, it was very helpful to say, this was so great, and this was great because. This was great because the pacing was wonderful, the colors were wonderful, the variety, the dynamic control. The way that the tension stayed in the sound until this beautiful release point, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's both. But more than anything, you want someone who's really going to touch you so deeply that you just can't look away.
not to belabor the point, but are you taking notes during or afterward? And I mean, how...
during. You have to move quickly and make immediate reactions, which is what we do anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, just because we're judging and we want to be able to give comments that are helpful, I guess there's that extra filter that we throw in as judges. Oh, watch this, shouldn't do that. Oh, gosh, you know, drop the ball there by the finalist point, everyone was so technically superior that it goes way beyond that. It's not that they play in tune and execute well. It's that they're really saying something. And so I felt that part of our job was to say this maybe could have been more effective if you had kept the drive in the rhythm, or if you'd had more rhythmic nuance, or, you know, it's music that we're all very familiar with, so that helps, of course. But in answer to your question, yes, we take immediate notes. I do, anyway.
Yeah.
I take immediate notes.
Okay.
But I wait. I wait to write them so that I can write them in a careful manner, you know, not just pigeon scribble.
I could see how that would happen, yeah.
But you want to be able to phrase things in a way that a student can understand. I've had more than one student say to me, talk about the feedback that they've gotten from a jury or from a competition and saying, I didn't really understand the comment. So I try and take care that it's something that's easy to decipher or that they can speak about with their teachers. You know, and I hope that they'll take their comments back to their teachers and sort of revisit their repertoire with some another set of ears, having listened in.
I love that you think of that as a really important part of being an adjudicator, not just awarding prizes.
Oh, yeah. As I said, started out, you know, the whole process of competitions, I mean, it should be a win-win, whether you win or not. It should be a win-win because you put in so much work and time and consideration that, boom, the level of your playing has just gone up, you know, a number of notches. That's how I view them.
I'm curious to know if there was another advantage in having this competition online and you being able to access these performances at the time that you wanted to. I'm talking about ear fatigue when you were judging a competition and six finalists all play one after the other. Do you ever wonder if you are susceptible to just, you know, I've been listening too hard, I need a break.
Yeah, I guess there is that element. You know, I've sat on so many orchestra audition committees that having 12 people to listen to is really a pleasure. I've had, you know, 50 people to listen to in one day, and that's really hard. That gets really fatiguing. And two, because it was a mix of instruments and all different repertoire, whereas an orchestra audition, it's a lot of the same repertoire and it's the same instrument. So that might have played a part in it. I think more so it played a part in it because I get screen fatigue just sitting in front of a screen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all using the screens for everything. So it's not just judging a competition. It's how many emails have I had to return, or how many students' YouTube videos have I had to look at for the lesson the next day. So, yes, the fact that we were able to break it up and do it in very uninterrupted time, you know, a time that we chose, probably was a good thing. Yes.
That's a very good point about screen fatigue, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, finally, I guess I'm thinking of how you can also relate to performers at this age, because you were once a performer at this age who was testing herself in competitions, I assume, and can kind of put yourself in their shoes. Any thoughts on how things have changed, or have they stayed the same? And I can see that you're just cheerleading for for this group of talented people.
Definitely. Yeah, I did do a number of competitions. I would have to say that when I was at that point in my career, it was different in that there wasn't a personal element involved, in that you needed to speak and introduce yourself and maybe introduce a piece. That's something that's evolved. I've seen at Juilliard, they started to include it in any given recital. If you're giving a recital, pick one piece and talk about it to your audience.
Wow.
You know, make a connection that way. And so certainly, I don't know if it was just because it was on a screen, these contestants had a chance to say, hi, I am who I am, and I'm from here, and I study with this person, and maybe an unusual fact you don't know about me is that I, you know, speak six languages or whatever. And so there was a chance to show some real poise in front of the camera. And there was never a camera element, of course, video camera. When I was doing competitions, you just simply got ready and focused as much as you can. It's sort of, at least I needed to put myself in a little bit of a closet where I just didn't interact with anybody or anything, so I could have my singular concentration going. And I think that students these days are more comfortable, more at ease, just being on stage, being center stage and presenting whatever it is they're presenting, whether it's talking about themselves, whether it's a piece they've prepared. So I would say the competitions at this point maybe are even more attractive than they used to be, because I think there is a realization that it's not just about winning. And I'm so happy to hear that, because it's not just about winning. It's about having a goal. And that's a life skill. That's something you can take into everything in your life, not just your plan. So I'm a big fan.
Cynthia Phelps, I want to thank you so much for talking about the experience of adjudicating a competition like this one. The Stolberg competition will go on through the end of the week. The Bach Prize awarded on Friday, and the gold, silver, and bronze medals awarded Saturday night. Details at stolberg.org. Thank you so much for giving me your time today.
My pleasure. It's been wonderful, and I'm so pleased I got a chance to do this. Thank you.